In this region, everybody's got a county fair to go to, but add the R and you've got one of a kind. County fair becomes country fair, and the Oregon Country Fair returns to the Veneta area on the weekend after the 4th of July. Counterculture fair, collection of hippies, lots of people give it lots of descriptions. We'll go straight to the top for a little info about the country fair's history and what's coming new this year. Charles Ruff is the general manager of the Oregon Country Fair and our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Jeffrey. Good morning. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
It's good to have you back here. Give us the history lesson, if you would. Started as a Renaissance fair and a fundraiser, was it?
It was a fundraiser for an alternative children's school here in Eugene back in 1969, the heart of that era of cultural change. And about 12 years later, became a full-blown nonprofit, a 501c3 philanthropic nonprofit, and has since been continuing to give away money to the tune of well over $1 million in the last 20 years.
Give away money to whom?
Arts and education-based nonprofits primarily, but we also actually do specific needs-based in the Lane County region for basic needs and different types of support services for folks around the area.
And so back in 1969, I'm going to guess you weren't on the staff at that time. Was there any thought that this would turn into something of an Oregon institution, which it clearly has become?
Well, you know, I don't know that it was necessarily there was a thought that it would turn into an institution. I think folks wanted it to have enough gravitas in that center that it could become an engine of an economic engine that was different from what was existing at the time. A real concept in the middle of this was right livelihood and, you know, connecting the work of the heart and the hand. And that's still a core value that we hang on to today. Every one of the crafts that you come in contact with at the fair has been personally made by hand, primarily constituted with their effort, and they're right there in the booth to sell it to you. And so there's that specific connection to the work of that human being, to their labor of love, to you making a connection with them, that was at the heart of that model that I think still holds true. But for that to become an institution, I don't think anybody at the time thought there was an institution involved.
And why do you suppose it has become that? Is it just because there are a set of values that it delivers that are not really part of other events?
Well, you know, there's an alchemy there that's actually I've thought about a lot over the years. It's really hard to pin that down. I think there's multiple factors. One thing that really separates the Oregon Country Fair from other events of its type, if in fact there are other events of its type, is the fact that we own the property where the event happens. We have a 446-acre property the nonprofit does that we steward in Veneta that is a really magical place. People have been gathering there, our archaeologists tell us, for over 10,000 years. And when you come to that property, when our event is happening, there really is something magical happening. And so there's an element of family reunion for folks. There are folks that come just for the crafts. There are folks that come for the community. There really is nonprofit-based learning in Community Village. There's alternative energy. I mean, there's so much of that counterculture that you know, it really is still alive there, and the heart is beating on those weekends. And so I don't know if that answered your question, but it's fascinating how this thing has evolved and grown. And it's so much more, I think, than any of the labels that, you know, a few that you threw out or that folks typically tend to associate with it.
Are there other places to compare notes with, Charles? I mean, do you have any other fair like this around the country that you can say, hey, you know, we do that too, or they say that back to you?
Well, we have tried. I mean, I think what you'll find, especially on the West Coast, was that the country fair was really sort of the grandmother of a whole new era of these sort of tribal reunions, the beginning of a tribal revival when you look at Burning Man, a Beloved, and, you know, even music festivals like Coachella today have still taken that thread and evolved it. You know, they're all very different animals, frankly. The only other festival I know of in the United States that actually owns its property is Bonnaroo, and in fact, we've been talking to them. We may have them come out and be our guests so they can actually see how the Oregon Country Fair does things differently, because I've never been to Bonnaroo, but you know, they're interested in coming to learn from the grandmother, as it were.
All right. I know you resisted some of the tags, the things that people will place upon you, counterculture fair, collection of hippies, whatever. So how do you describe this to people who might have heard something outside of an avenue you control, and you're trying to convince them, no, it's like this. What is the this you're presenting?
Well, I guess I would say I'm not really resistant to the tags. I would say they're insufficient. I mean, all those things are true and so much more. It's really hard to describe. One of the best ways I can put it is we spend about 6 weeks every year with a core of volunteers that at peak times is about 1,000 people that are actually out on the property for, you know, days on end putting together the basic infrastructure for the event. And then when we open the gates to the event, something happens. All of the, you know, the work and the effort just creates this blossom, and the whole atmosphere just changes. And for those 3 days, it's really very hard to describe what happens. Everyone becomes a participant, whether you buy a ticket, whether you've worked for months to earn your wristband so you can, you know, be there and camp on the property overnight. However it is you come to be in that celebration, you really are part of it. And the setting is just is magical, and people really are able to be in so much as that happens really themselves. I think there's not a lot of judgment there about the choices that you make, as long as they're affirming choices. Negative choices, of course, are not a positive thing in any community. But in terms of expressing yourself, it's a very safe place for that. So you can put on a costume, you can put on a character, you can be out of character, and all of that actually, in most ways, fits right in.
Charles Ruff is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a general manager at the Oregon Country Fair, and you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Maybe you have some fair experiences you'd like to share from years past, or some questions for Charles. We'd like to hear from you at 800-838-3760 in the neighborhood of the fair and all around the region. In the Rogue Valley, our local number is 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Haven't been specific about the dates yet. This is July 11, 12, 13, is that right?
That is correct.
And what are some of the major attractions then? I mean, you sell this a bit for the folks who've never been to the Oregon Country Fair.
Well, so obviously we talked earlier, or I spoke earlier about the artisans and the handcrafted goods. There really is not a marketplace like this that I'm aware of. There are a lot of handcrafted markets, but this one is truly unique. We have over 300 craft booths, which are filled with over 700 hand-making, you know, hand artisans that are developing these goods and bringing them to the fair. They work all year just to have enough stock of these things to come to the fair. For 3 days of sales, it's pretty amazing. Then we have 17 actual formal official stages of entertainment that are programmed all 3 days from start to finish. So there's far more in the entertainment world than you could possibly see in 3 days. I know folks that really try very hard to say, I'm going to be here, make a whole matrix agenda of what they're going to do for the weekend. And I find they get pretty frustrated. It seems like if you just go out and let the path take you where it will, the most magic tends to happen for folks. We have wonderful entertainment lined up. Entertainment that in a setting that you wouldn't normally see that. And then don't forget the food. We have incredible food at the fair. We have 80 food booths that, once again, make everything from scratch, and it's a pretty amazing process, and it's food from around the world. So there's not a culinary gathering like it in the summertime that I can think of either.
All right, just on the basis of the 300 craft booths and the 17 stages, I mean, it sounds like you pretty well cover the 446 acres. How big a walk is it from end to end? Is it sort of like comparable to walking from end to end in a shopping mall or something?
I would say I hadn't thought about comparing.
Tough comparison,
to a shopping
I know.
Mall. That's actually quite amusing. I think, you know, it's well over a mile in distance from one end to the other, but it's actually a fairly elongated stretch. The fair itself, where the public event happens, is only about 88 of those 446 acres. So much of that is parking, hay fields that we actually use for parking. And then there's a lot of forested property that we steward and preserve that's actually not even in use for camping, that's kind of behind the scenes. So there's a lot of reasons for that, which I really won't dive off into. But there is some walking involved. We also provide alter-abled services. We have, for instance, wheelchairs that people can borrow if that's something that helps them get around. And there's assistance for folks of all types that may need it out on the site. We have a pretty incredibly involved infrastructure to support folks that come out with special needs.
Sorry if that shocked you about the mall comparisons. That is the distance that people are willing to walk, though, from one end of a mall to another.
Yes. That comparison's fine. And that's actually pretty accurate, but you don't usually go to the mall for a day. So when you try to walk the 8, you know, you're there for a whole day, and it takes a whole day to really soak it in. And you can come for all 3 days and still only see a fraction of what's happening. Now, that's one of the great things about the fair. It's in the sense that there's something, temporal and ethereal about it. It really is like this special flower that blossoms for 3 days every summer. And if you're not there to take, you know, to catch its fragrance and embrace its nuance, then it's gone, and you wait again another year. And so, you know, if you come on out just to embrace that and to try to experience as much of that as you can for those 3 days is a worthy endeavor.
We're talking about the Oregon Country Fair with General Manager Charles Ruff. It is July 11, 12, 13. Here is Pam and Dexter. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Well, the flower needs to blossom a little longer, in my opinion. I haven't been in a few years because it's just, for me, way too crowded. And it is a really unique and exciting and adventurous fair. But I've often wondered, and I know you've probably heard this 1,000 times, why not expand it for 5 days, 6 days, a week? That way, maybe the locals can come during the week, and then the people who live outside the area can come on the weekend, so it's a much more pleasurable experience, because I really don't like fighting the crowds. I feel like I'm being herded like cattle through parts of it. And it is a wonderful, unique experience, but it's just way too crowded, in my opinion. But happy fair, and I will listen to your response on the radio.
All right. Thanks, Pam.
Well, thank you very much, Pam. I really appreciate that question. There's a lot to unpack in that. I would start by saying that, you know, back in the 90s, before we put a cap on attendance, there were some real issues with path crowding. Since the path has expanded some, and we do have a cap on tickets, so we won't sell over a certain amount of tickets. And the only day that actually sells out is Saturday. Saturday tends to be the most crowded day. That being said, there are peak times when you get there first thing in the morning, and at certain times, just certain areas of the fair do get pretty congested. I will say, I think we've done a great job in the last few years of creating spaces where when you get into one of those moments of congestion, which usually are just moments, they don't last too long, there are lots of alternatives to get off the path and to just kind of tuck away and catch your breath and not be in a place that's crowded. The most exciting thing that I think we're working on this year is we're in the process of a 2-year expansion into about 6 new acres of public path space, which will be including this really wonderful singular meadow that we have on our property that has a lot of open space and will really do a lot to mitigate what crowding we're still dealing with there. And so we're really excited about this new space. This year, we're going to do a sort of semi-version of that, half of that we're calling the bubble. So we're blowing out this bubble into this new area, and it's going to be filled with a lot of fun stuff. We're going to have a flow zone with flow arts, where you can learn to swing, you know, poi or do different other kind of action acrobatics and acro yoga. There's a whole program that's set for that this year. We'll have a new area there in the bubble that is called the stewardship, that actually speaks directly and gives you more information about the programs and the sustainability of the fair, the philanthropy of the fair, those types of things. We're going to have, for the first time ever, we've done a new sort of program of applications for large-scale art. This new space gives us the ability to do some really big art. So we're dipping our toe in that water this year with some really new process for that. And we're going to have 3 or 4 large-scale art installations that I won't tell you too much about. But if you're interested in that kind of thing, you should come and see it. I guess the last thing I would say to Pam's specific question is that, you know, many years ago, back in the 80s, the fair received a non-conforming land use exemption from the state to do our event the way we do our event. That is very specifically clear that we get to do it that weekend for those 3 days, once a year, every year, and we don't get to take a week. We don't get to take a year off like Glastonbury in Scotland to kind of rejuvenate. We do it every year, and so those are the terms that we're kind of working with at this point. We're not literally allowed or able to expand the fair to 5 days or to expand it over 2 weekends, because I've heard a lot of people with that same request over the years.
Which leads into Jackie and Medford's question, if I can only come for 1 day, how to choose which one?
Well, I suppose it's really based on who you are and what your interests are. I'll break them down for you a little bit. Friday of the fair, I tend to find is pretty exciting. It's very much for the folks that like to shop. You know, it's not as crowded. We have a few thousand less people typically that are in attendance of the fair. All the craft booths are at their peak in terms of their stock. You get to see everything that they have. You maybe get the widest selection of things. Everything is fresh and new. It's a great day to come check out the fair, and it's a little less crowded. Saturday if you're there for the people watching, that's the day to come for. Saturday is always our biggest day, and if you're into that, you know, that energy and that bigger crowd and lots of cool people watching, Saturday is a great day to come. If you have younger kids that you want to come and you know, introduce to this magical wonderland, which the fair is a great place for kids, I will tell you, Sunday is a great day to do that. And Sunday has started to sort of evolve as our more really, you know, dedicated to family day. It's not as crowded. Sunday is definitely our least crowded day. And it's just it's a slower pace, it feels like, on Sunday, and it's very family friendly.
All right, so July 11, 12, 13. What's the cost to get in, Charles?
Well, you know, we actually have a 3-day ticket that goes for $58, which is a discount. Mm-hmm. You can buy tickets for Friday for $23, tickets for Saturday $25, and Sunday for $23. If you buy them the day of sale, which you can do at different locations, there is an upcharge on that the day of sale. But mm-hmm. if you buy them in advance, even a day early, $23, $25, and $23 for Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
All right. Charles Ruff is the general manager of the Oregon Country Fair. Always good to talk to you. Best of luck with this year's fair.
Thank you so much. Can I put in one last plug for our partnership with the Lane Transit District, who for the last couple of years we've bought the
You just did, and we're out of time. But
okay, thank you,
Charles.
Jeffrey.
You bet. Take care.